Welcome to the Ask Drone You podcast, where it's all about answering your drone questions today so you can fly better, safer, and even get paid tomorrow. And now, your hosts. One is a man of few hairs, and the other likes to be called Batman. Rob Burdick and Paul Lincoln.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and this is episode number 207. And as always, we thank you for spending a few minutes of your day with us.
Very happy to have you here, and thanks to you, we get to podcast. So we've got a great question from one of our members, a new member. Just want to say thanks for becoming a member. Happy to help another person learn to be an expert pilot and help progress this industry.
Absolutely. And this is a question about something that I know I've been seeing a lot more, even around town. This weekend, just driving around, I saw at a park folks racing their quads.
You did?
Yeah.
Really? Which park?
Cool. It was over at Flower Hill Park, I think is the name of it.
Flower Hill.
San Mateo, north of Alameda.
Oh, no. There's a Wildflower Park.
Wildflower Park. Uh-huh. There you go.
Yeah. That's the one that the Southwest Pod Racers group meets up at.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, those are Andre's friends.
Is that right?
Uh-huh, yeah. I actually introduced Andre and those people. I've never met those people.
Yeah. Well, anyways, it's pretty cool, and we're seeing a lot more of it. We're getting a lot more questions about it. It seems to be getting really, really popular. Well, getting probably isn't the right verb, but...
You know, you bring up a really good point here. FPV racing, people are getting really excited about it. But have we ever thought of why? And I think the greater question here is, why are we seeing such prominent, good drone pilots moving in to FPV? And I think really it's because people are frustrated with the gray area legalities and this drone registration. We heard an update on that this weekend that they want to register any drone that weighs more than 9 ounces. Yeah, I don't know about that one. Anyway.
Wow.
And I think it's funny, too. I want the listeners to know that in Japan, they actually just removed a bunch of drone law because they say they, quote unquote, see it as the fourth industrial revolution.
No kidding.
The fourth generation of the industrial revolution. And they said, in order to make way for progress and economic growth and development and research, we need to limit regulation. And it's like, if Japan can come up with that on their own, and we got 15 or 20 drone, quote unquote, experts from manufacturers to the Pilots Association to many other things, and they could not come up with an alternative like geofencing to registration.
Right.
And I know I've seen some articles touting that the group, the registration group, was excited that it would be free to register in an online system, and they were touting that as a win.
Hmm.
But I'm just so disappointed here because I feel that there are so many different ways that we can approach this, and to see Japan lead the way is great.
Is great. Okay, cool. Well, and another reason they might be getting into FPV racing is because it's really cool and fun.
It is really cool and fun. They move really fast.
Yeah,
but
they do
I am
move
saying,
really
like
fast.
I've asked people, you know, talking to one of our other members, Nick, and he said, you know, FPV racing is just so pleasant because you don't have any of the BS to stop you.
Yeah, you
fly.
Just go out and do what you love to do.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Which is all anybody really wants.
I mean, you know,
within
that's kind of what flight is all about, is freedom.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but we got a great question for today from Trace, and excited to hear that one, Rob. It seems like he's got a lot to say, so let's hear it.
Hey guys, it is Trace Van Gordon down here in Charlotte, North Carolina, giving you guys another call. And just got done listening to your episode today. It is Friday, and you were talking about that the announcement and trying to guess the announcement on Monday and all of that stuff. And it's kind of weird. I think I know what it is, and I also have a question related to it, which would be kind of ironic, but here goes. What I think that you guys are going to be announcing is something to do with an FPV racing track that you guys are either putting together or sponsoring. So I'm kind of thinking that that's where you guys are going. And that would be very cool. I've been watching a lot of that stuff like on Instagram and all that, just people getting into it, and it seems really cool. And my question would be, if I wanted to get an FPV quad, affordable, like a starter quad, something, you know, with the goggles and all of that. But on a budget, I mean, I have a GoPro Hero 3 Black, so I'd want to probably use that. And if that could be used, I'm talking, so a quad with a radio and some goggles. What would be the best way to go? I'm not opposed to building it if there's a cool kit, or half building it or fully assembled. I'm not real sure. So it's something that I may eventually want to get into just because it looks really like a neat thing to get into. So anyways, you know, as usual, man, love the podcast.
You know, I'm going to call our buddy from X-Hover and say, hey, where's my MP230? I'm still waiting on it. But I hear that X-Hover, the MP230 and the MP180 are two great starter kits.
Right.
But I did ask some of our members to chime in on the same subject, and I'm going to kind of let you know what they said. Obviously, if we're talking from a kit standpoint, the X-Hover is a good bet. But also, Immersion RC makes the Vortex, which is a definitely entry-level model. It is a kit. It comes ready to fly. I do believe, though, that you would need an RC, a remote control.
Okay.
I know that a lot of people prefer Tyrannus radios, and I actually just asked Nick, and he just chimed in. He said, seems to be everyone's go-to. Everyone recommends it to me when they're starting out, and I usually see all the sponsored guys usually using Tyrannus as well. All
right, well,
there you go. And I could see Tyrannus making sense because that's been a favorite in the RC community for a while. As far as, you know, having a specific radio, I have a Futaba, and I would not buy a new radio. I would just use my Futaba radio because that's what I'm used to.
Okay.
And I know how to program it and control it. So I think that is a personal opinion on what radio to use, unless we can get some solid facts on what radio is better than another radio.
So would you recommend a kit, or would you recommend out of the box?
Well, when I said a kit in reference to the Vortex and in reference to X-Hover, those are ready to fly. Like, you pull them out of the box.
Okay.
A build kit. I hear the ZMR 250 is a great little build frame. There's a lot of parts for it. It'll give you some room to work in there with your fingers before you move into a smaller class FPV racer. It's interesting, though. What I love to see about the FPV community is two things. Number one, their sensitivity is much better, and they learn how to control a drone really like they should be able to control a drone.
Right, I can imagine, absolutely.
So you have a lot of benefits from going into FPV racing. But also you learn kind of the intricacies and nuances of the relationship between the flight controller, the motor, and the prop,
right,
and how changing the combinations of those things can affect your flight performance.
Yeah, we actually had John in here, the number one racer, right, in the
yes,
world.
Yes, number
and
one.
Wasn't he going to three pronged blades? Did
yes,
I see that
tri-props,
right?
Yes, tri-props.
Tri-props, yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, I'd never seen tri-props before, and I guess they seem to be kind of the new hit. Yeah, I guess they get more lift. And he really loved them. He said he's getting crazy speed out of it. And we had Andre, he brought his FPV racer to our new pilot experience this weekend. Man, to put it in perspective, if you have an Inspire 1 at full speed, the FPV racer can go probably double that speed.
It makes it look like it's standing still.
Yes, it does, actually.
Basically.
I agree.
It was
totally
pretty cool.
Agree.
It's a lot of fun. Now, Trace mentions the GoPro. You're not going to have a GoPro involved in one of these, right?
Well, now, there are different setups. People use Mobius cameras, they use CCD cameras, because CCD cameras are very, very cheap. They're like $20 and you
okay.
get your FPV feed. I know, though, that the GoPro camera is go-to because it has an onboard recorder, meaning you can, you know, record your flight.
Right.
On top of, you know, having a CCD camera display your FPV feed. But as you'll learn getting into this, Trace, it all comes down to weight.
That's
and reducing
right.
weight.
Exactly.
So I don't know if GoPro is the way that you want to go. So remember, you know, there are, just like drone flying, there are various levels of FPV skill and vehicles and frames to achieve certain things. So
right.
As a starter, I think a GoPro, yeah, sure, it's a great idea. But when you really get into FPV racing, you're going to be like, I don't want to use a GoPro.
Yeah, you're not going to have that on there if you're actually in a race,
yeah,
most likely. I mean, yeah, if you're out messing around learning, that's one thing. And like you said, recording and getting a sense of how good you are, I guess, and through the learning process maybe. But beyond that, I can't imagine having a GoPro. I've never seen one, personally. On an actual racer.
I have, but I've only seen it when people were playing around and recording videos. So
yeah, yeah.
I didn't actually see it during a race. But Trace had another good point. He said, you know, I'm trying to guess what the announcement is, and we've got to delay the official announcement for a few more days on what we're working on. But was Trace on the right path, Rob?
He's in the ballpark.
He is in the ballpark. I agree that, you know, he asked a question about creating something at this location.
He parked in the player's lot.
Yes, he did. There's a whole but he hasn't he hasn't entered the casino yet.
No,
but we're really excited to announce that. And if you go to our Instagram at the Drone U, I actually just got permission to post the event logo, but I can't include the name. So I have to be super secretive still.
The logo's cool. Check that out. Go to the Instagram page.
The logo is actually awesome.
Really digging it.
Yeah, it is really cool.
It's well done.
So
can I get back to the FPV really quick
finish things up? Sure, yeah. I mean, you don't have to ask.
Well, because one of the things that we didn't talk about was cost. So I know Andre mentioned that he was about $400 into the racer he brought. Is that what somebody should expect? Is that low end?
I think for the racer itself, not including the goggles, which, by the way, Trace, if you've got a monitor, you can use a monitor. You don't have to use goggles. You know, that is another personal choice
True.
That people make. And, you know, for the vehicle, I think $400 to $500 is cheap. Yeah, and I think that that's definitely average, and that they can expect to pay that for the vehicle.
Right.
Now, they're going to have extra costs, you know, $200 for the remote, $200 for either goggles or a monitor. So I think all in all, you're going to be four figures into it, but not much higher than that.
Right. And batteries for one of these is not like buying batteries.
Oh, it's like $15.
Yeah.
If that.
A Phantom or something.
No. Yeah. I hate buying. I'm sure you hate buying them too. I'm sure you hate giving me the card to buy them.
Mini batteries lately. Yeah. Hey, you got to fly. So.
We've got enough batteries though now. I was doing some calculations to fly nonstop. With one, if we're training one person out at the backfield, we can go 7 hours nonstop.
Sweet.
That's insane.
So there's a method to the madness and to the spending.
There is. And we've had people come in for in-person trainings before, and we wait to charge batteries, and kind of it gives us an opportunity to talk about things they want to work on, things I want them to work on, and practicing, you know, some information-based stuff. So, you know, in the past it's been great, but in the future we'll have more flight time, which is what it's all about.
Yeah, even better. Although we love to sit down with them, make sure we're meeting their needs
when
they come
do.
Into town.
Yes,
sure.
We do. Also, to Trace's point, are we giving away an Inspire 1 soon? Yes, we are. You'll probably hear about that by the end of the month. Maybe first week of December. Who knows?
Maybe July of 2016.
Maybe Rob stole the Inspire 1.
Hey, it is pretty cool.
It is really cool, actually. Anyway, guys, stay tuned for that. We greatly appreciate your support, and thank you so much for asking those questions. If you've got a question, go to askdroneu.com and upload that question so we can hear your voice. This emailed stuff, I don't like it.
It is definitely not the preference, but if that's the only way you're willing to ask a question, we will listen.
True.
We will answer.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening in. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone U podcast. Submit your questions at www.askdroneu.com.